I grew up in Africa for the first part of my life. And, you know, I come from a subsistence farming village where if it doesn't rain that year or that season, you're not going to get food. And so people do starve. And so, but all the food comes from the earth and it goes into your belly and there's zero processing. It gets cooked, maybe eaten raw. And so everybody eats off of 100% organic, real whole foods. Not very much meat, barely ever, in fact. But people don't have chronic diseases. So fast forward, I moved to Canada when my mom brought me here. And then my mom was introduced to all this processed refined food for the first time, but she still maintained a garden in our backyard. So we lived on a quarter of an acre in orchard with cherry trees, plum trees, apple trees, and this huge garden. So then I only knew really about growing up with fresh, real, organic, whole food from that perspective. But then, of course, I become a teenager. I start eating all, you know, making my own money, eating from the vending machines because, you know, Score bars and Diet Coke and ketchup chips were all the rage when, you know, they probably still are when I was in high school. But then I noticed I got really excessive PMS symptoms. I started getting chronic nosebleeds, like when I'd be playing basketball or tennis, like just my nose would start bleeding. Jeez. I always had zero energy. And so I really saw immediately that shift from whole foods, organic foods to processed foods. And then I quickly changed back. I was like, okay, I'm going to only make real whole foods. But then fast forward. And when I was in my early 20s, my best friend's dad was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. He was 72 at the time, and he was given 3 months to live. Now he switched to 100% organic whole foods diet. And he had been like standard American diet, pizzas, burgers, you know, all the processed foods. And he ended up without any chemo, surgery, or radiation, fully reversing his cancer and living another 22 years. So dying in his 90s, cancer free. So all of these pieces in my life came together and I immediately knew I needed to leave my work in government and pursue this, research this. And that's what I've devoted my life to for the last 20 plus years.
Welcome to Parenting Teens Today with Jessie LeBeau.
It's a great day, and I am here with the one, the only, the good doctor, Dr. Nicolette Richard. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, it's an exciting day, getting lots done, and that always feels good on a Friday.
Did I say Nicolette? Not. How did I say your name?
You said Nicolette. It's Nicolette Richet. So the last name is French. So it's Richet. And then the company names, though, are phonetically Richer Health.
Okay. You had to get fancy. You had to get a little fancy. So I should get that because my last name is LeBeau, which is very Francois. But, you know, we got to start somewhere today.
Exactly. No, all good. All good.
Well, I am so excited to share what you have going on with our audience because there's so many things going on. And when it comes to parenting teens, I literally will see these kids' diets and we'll talk to it. And it's like they are literally just putting poison into their body every day. And then they're like, I wonder why, like, I can't get good sleep. And I wonder why, like, I have trouble paying attention and being focused and all these other issues when it comes to mental health. So I would love to hear if we could rewind a little bit and go into your backstory and find out how you came to be where you are today.
Yeah. So, you know, I was lucky that I grew up in Africa for the first part of my life. And, you know, I come from a subsistence farming village where if it doesn't rain that year or that season, you're not going to get food. And so people do starve. And so, but all the food comes from the earth and it goes into your belly and there's zero processing. It gets cooked, maybe eaten raw. And so everybody eats off of 100% organic, real, whole foods. Not very much meat, barely ever, in fact. But people don't have chronic diseases. So fast forward, I moved to Canada when my mom brought me here. And then my mom was introduced to all this processed refined food for the first time, but she still maintained a garden in our backyard. So we lived on a quarter of an acre in orchard with cherry trees, plum trees, apple trees, and this huge garden. So then I only knew really about growing up with fresh, real, organic, whole food from that perspective. But then, of course, I become a teenager. I start eating all, you know, making my own money, eating from the vending machines because, you know, Score bars and Diet Coke and ketchup chips were all the rage when, you know, they probably still are when I was in high school. But then I noticed I got really excessive PMS symptoms. I started getting chronic nosebleeds, like when I'd be playing basketball or tennis, like just my nose would start bleeding. Jeez. I always had zero energy. And so I really saw immediately that shift from whole foods, organic foods to processed foods. And then I quickly changed back. I was like, okay, I'm going to only make real whole foods. But then fast forward. And when I was in my early 20s, my best friend's dad was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. He was 72 at the time, and he was given 3 months to live. Now he switched to 100% organic whole foods diet. And he had been like standard American diet, pizzas, burgers, you know, all the processed foods. And he ended up without any chemo, surgery, or radiation, fully reversing his cancer and living another 22 years. So dying in his 90s, cancer free. So all of these pieces in my life came together, and I immediately knew I needed to leave my work in government and pursue this, research this. And that's what I've devoted my life to for the last 20 plus years.
Jeez, unbelievable. I love it. So when it came to this real life example that happened and he had cancer, what was the big change that he made? Literally just the foods that he was ingesting, or did he go all out and do some other things too?
So, I mean, mindfulness, going to bed at the reasonable time, but what really made the difference for him was the fact that he hyper-nutrified his body. And when I say hyper, it's like a diligent approach for an entire year and a half of just 100% organic whole foods and everything made from scratch, nothing processed, not one stitch of sodium. You know, we'd kill ourselves every day from all the sodium we add in our food, all the preservatives that are made up of sodium molecules. And so all of that was gone, no refined oils, no refined sugars, no refined flours. And people are probably wondering, well, what did he eat? Well, he ate 350,000 edible plant species are available to us. And he just ate as much of that as he could. Then, of course, he had to incorporate, because you cannot just do it through food alone, because when you're that sick, you need to hyper-nutrify. So he had to add in juicing every day on top of his meals and snacks, and then missing supplements that you just cannot get through food at all, doesn't exist. And so there's 9 key supplements, and then detoxifying his body daily as well. So those 4 parts are what I teach to my clients to reverse pretty much any kind of chronic disease that you have. And so that's how he ended up living.
Unbelievable. So you literally had this other career in government, and this had such a profound effect on you. Did you just go all in and drop it, or was it like a transition? What did that look like?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, when it happened to him, because I was living with my best friend, and this is her dad. And, you know, when he was going through this, we were all in our 20s. And, you know, we were, you know, working in a bar, and, you know, we would choose organic food. We were always juicing or growing a garden and, you know, trying to be like these new age hippies. And, you know, and so we knew about health, but not to this level that he was doing. So we were kind of watching him and being like, come on, Bill, like, really, does the sodium matter? And he'd be like, the sodium, it matters. You cannot have this additional sodium, which now after doing my pre-med sciences, like, it is the most destructive things to your tissues, to your cells. And so we watched him go through this, but none of us jumped on board right away at all. Like, we just thought, well, he's doing this wacky therapy. And so what happened is, fast forward a few years, and my other best friend's mom was diagnosed with cancer for the second time. It had come back and metastasized through her body. But for Bill, his cancer had metastasized to his bones as well. So if he could reverse his cancer, I was like, well, she could reverse her cancer too. So I connected them. But, you know, Bill was like, listen, this is what you need to do. And she was like, that seems too simple. Like, can you explain it to me more? But I couldn't explain the science. So I jumped on a plane. I went down, got trained in this therapy, and then I came back and taught it to her. So that's how that happened. So there was a gap in between. And meanwhile, I was doing my master's, I was working government, I was, you know, you know, I was busy doing other things, raising a young family. But the minute I went down and did that training, that was it. I came back home and I got invited to teach this workshop to all my fellow colleagues in government as part of some health and wellness event. And then all of a sudden my colleagues started to do the therapy, and then they started to come back and saying they no longer suffer from migraines, from depression, from anxiety, for diabetes, they reverse their heart disease. And it, and that's where the company grew. I just had to launch the company after that.
Oh, I love it. I love when people find their passion. Like, it just radiates through you right now with just even the way you're smiling when you talk about it. It is so exciting. And I just, if you're someone out there who hasn't found your passion, because I feel like that's not just a kid thing. I feel like it's an all people thing, and most people don't. So try things, find that, because it's so, life is so exciting. Like, I guarantee, like, you have so much just energy and zest for life because you believe in the thing you're doing. And it's bigger than yourself when it's helping other people. So
100%.
I love it so much. I love it. So as far as teens and their nutrition and their mental health, this is such an interesting one because, like I kind of said at the beginning of this, it seems like almost every kid today that goes to a doctor is told, you have all of these things and you need all of these medications. And then when you go and you look at the medications that they have them on, they're hurting them in so many other ways. And after a while, you're like, not everyone could have all of these things. And there's a lot of money being made, not to get conspiratorial or anything. But for you, what does the science, what does the research, what does your experience in the data connect teens, the nutrition, the things they're putting in their body when it comes to food and diet and their mental health?
Okay, so this is going to be really hard for a lot of parents to hear, okay? And I'm assuming a lot of your audience are the parents of these teens. So diet has everything. And when I say everything, all of these mental health conditions, all of these chronic diseases, the eczema, the gut health issues, the IBS, the Crohn's disease, the, you know, the anxiety, the depression, the whatever it is that your child is dealing with right now. Now we see diabetes in kids as young as 3 years old, MS, in, which we never saw before. We see MS in kids as young as three years old now. Autoimmune disorders going through the roof. So your diet has everything to do with it. Your kid's diet, what you're feeding your kids, okay, is creating these diseases. And what you feed your kids can uncreate and reverse these diseases. Okay, so it 100%. Now, this applies to 97% of chronic diseases. Now, even the other 3%, like a parent might be saying, well, my kid has a genetic disease. Even the genetic disease is influenced by the food that you eat. Now, some people would say, well, how much does food influence these conditions? It's been written by Harvard, by Stanford, by all the top Ivy League schools, Cornell University. It doesn't matter what university you look at. If you look at their nutrition departments, if you look at their biochem departments, their chemistry departments, biology, they all say the same thing. Food influences these diseases. Okay. 93% responsible. Now, what about that other 7%? What is that? Okay. How much time is your kid spending on social media, and how is that affecting their mental health and their wellness?
Just about 16 hours a day.
Yeah, just about 16 hours, exactly. Yeah, and are they going to bed at a reasonable hour, okay? Do they have community and friends? They need at least one good friend. They don't need five. They don't need 10. They just need one good friend. So there is this 7% here. You know, are they moving their body? Are they spending time in nature? Do they feel loved versus judged? You know, so there's that additional 7% there. But 93% of your child's condition, if they have a diagnosis, if they're not feeling well, is it's all because of the food. And we know that because we reverse these conditions 100% of the time when people spend or change their diets.
Isn't it crazy? We have to go and look at these prestigious universities and research and data to get back to just the basics of being a human being. So what I heard was exercise, diet, what you're eating and drinking, and sleep, and obviously the phone and internet, and your community and what you're putting in. It's like, you mean all the things that have been since the history of time that we're supposed to be doing, we've got away from these things. So you don't have to be some brilliant person to be like, just use common sense and be like, oh, okay, yeah, I see that these are what we need. But with all of that being said, It's easier said than done. There's a reason why, and I feel like it's a compound effect. That's like, well, I'll just have a little, bite of sugar here, and a little Starbucks there, and a little dessert there, and a Pop Tart for breakfast. So how can you actually have the discipline? Because like you said, there's kids that are 3 years old that are now diabetic and having these issues. So how can, like, what would you, if in a perfect world, how would you draw this up for a parent to basically train their kid from the right age of how they can eat? Because once they get kind of going and they're old enough to, like you said, be at school, have a little bit of their own pocket change, dip into that vending machine and grab the tasty things that are all just replicating what a fruit is supposed to be like when it comes to sugar and all these things. What are practical steps that parents can actually do to hopefully get their kids on board so that they believe in it and they want to make the right choices for themselves?
Yeah, now this is a good question, and again, not one that your audience is going to like. So
Okay.
you cannot have a parent who is taking, one, five, 10, 30 different prescription drugs for their chronic diseases, and then have that parent tell their kids they need to eat differently. It has to start with the parent. So
Yeah.
for the parents, you need to reverse your mental health conditions and your chronic health conditions, your diabetes, your MS autoimmune disorders, everything I talked about. You have to do that first as a parent. You need to be the inspiration for the kids. You need to enjoy eating these foods, and these foods are so delicious. But you can't force your kids to eat vegetables and fruits when you're not doing it. If you're going to be eating all of this refined processed food, how are you ever going to get your kids off the crack? And I call it crack because it's literally as addictive as cocaine and heroin. All of these foods that you're bringing in your house that are from Costco and the big bags, Walmart, like all this packaged food, not to say anything bad about Walmart. I know they have some organic food now, like they're growing as a huge grocery store, bringing in organic produce. But the other organic crap, if it comes in a package, if it comes in a box, this is not food at all. It's crack. And so you have to get off the crack, and so your kids can get off the crack. Now, when you do this, your kids will automatically follow. Now, it's not going to be easy at first because A, Jesse, you use the term common sense. Humans do not have common sense anymore because it's been about 100 years of living in a refined food, convenience food lifestyle where basically TV dinners, like most grandparents grew up with TV dinners in this day and age, right? When they were little. We've lost the memory of our grandparents and great grandparents having gardens, picking a carrot from the backyard, wiping it on their apron, and just giving it to the kid. Like we're in this like hyper sanitizing society. Our microbiomes are blown because we want to clean everything to death. And when I say to death, literally, it's killing you. And we have people who do not know how to cook from scratch. So for the parents, they need to start buying real food. Show your kids where the food comes from. I've met kids who are in their 20s who have never touched a potato, who have never touched cabbage, never touched a carrot, never seen a whole food in their life. So, parents, you need to learn it first, and it's easy and it's cheap. And when you do this, you're going to reverse your chronic diseases, and then your kids are going to follow suit. So, that needs to happen. Now, for the kids, if the kids are listening to this, and I teach in schools, we teach in high schools, elementary schools, universities. When we teach kids this, it takes not even a 1 hour class, and the kids are shaking all their pills at me saying, "We don't want to be on these drugs, but we don't know how to be off them because my parents, they won't buy the healthy food." So even the kids know that they need to be doing this and they want the help with it. And so then for the kids, you need to learn this and then teach it to your parents. Okay, this is what needs to happen. So it's a two-way
Crazy.
street here.
Wow. Yeah, isn't that, and that makes me so sad because I hear that all the time too. If like, hey, I don't want to be on these medications that numb me out and I don't feel like myself. I feel just like I'm suppressed, but this is what it takes. And we could get all these from good, healthy, organic foods.
Yeah, your
So
mental
what gets,
health is attached to that
yeah.
100%. Yeah.
So I'm wondering what does like an example of a typical breakfast that a kid, and should they even be having breakfast? Do we wait after later in the day? Because I know breakfast was really pushed during a time when they were pushing cereals and that kind of thing. What are like some examples of some healthy, nutritious meals that families, kids, parents, everyone can have?
Right. So in the morning, it's great. The easiest, the most inexpensive, and the tastiest thing that people can eat. It's really a bowl of oatmeal. Now, a lot of people, they cringe when they hear the word oatmeal because they're so used to those, Quaker oats that you mix in, or like the cheap hotel food oatmeal that tastes like, sawdust. Oats are so delicious and they're full of really healthy fats, really healthy protein, really healthy carbohydrates, really like just all the minerals, vitamins, nutrients that you need. And they're cheap and easy to make. Your 5-year-old can make the oatmeal. So oatmeal with cinnamon, you can have honey or maple syrup, depending if you're vegan or not. Lots of stewed fruit, or you can make and stewing fruit is really simple. Just put the fruit in a pot with a little bit of water, put a lid on it, cook it until it's soft. Throw that and all its juicy natural syrups onto the oatmeal. You can have fresh fruit. You can do that. Now, it is important for kids to get a really balanced meal in the morning like that because it's going to satiate them until lunchtime. So they're not going to be looking for this quick sugar fix because they just had all their healthy sugars, but they're sugars that sustain them without making their brains go wonky. Okay, so this is important. They won't have the sugar crash, the feeling of depression, anxiety, and getting all jittery from all of these, like really unhealthy breakfast sugar cereals that these kids are eating. So that is something that you can have. But the beautiful thing is, let's say kids don't want to eat the oatmeal, and I get it, and some parents don't. You can blend the oats, dried oats, into flour, mix it with water, turn it in, and throw some bananas and cinnamon in there, nutmeg, and then make some pancakes. Or you can blend it and make some muffins. Like there's a million and one things you can do, but the easiest is just to make the oatmeal. And don't worry about your kids having honey. Don't worry about them having the maple syrup because it's actually a complex carbohydrate that they can have that's going to be satiating. The problem is when we're putting maple syrup on top of, boxed pancake mix. This is a simple sugar, and this is going to spike their blood glucose levels.
So my dad has probably had a Quaker oatmeal every day of his life. With raisins in it. And so I had that almost every day as a kid. And brown sugar. Stay away from the sugar at all costs. Go with the syrup and the honey. Is that the way to do it?
Stay away from the brown sugar is just another processed ingredient. It's a killer. It's the equivalent of crack cocaine. So stay away from the cane sugar, the refined sugar, any of the simple sugars. You got to stay away from that. And you want to get all your sugars from whole foods, from fruits, from the maple syrup, from the honey. And my clients who are diabetic, they eat this exact meal that I just talked to you about. Type 1 diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and their A1C levels return back to normal. Their blood glucose levels go back to normal within a few weeks. So it is important to know that sugar does not cause diabetes. Okay? We need
Crazy.
complex sugars though, not
It's
simple sugars.
wild how many like things like when I was growing up, it was like, oh, you need a carbo load before the basketball game, have the pasta in the bread, and that's going to give you energy. And now they're like, whatever you do, don't do that, because it seems like we don't know, or we're being fed lies, or the science changes. My grandfather, before he passed, he was the sweetest old man, and he goes, I missed out on a decade of egg breakfasts from grandma because they said eggs were bad and gave me cholesterol. And now they're saying eggs are good. And I missed out on that decade of those amazing breakfasts, which is my favorite breakfast. Where do we stand on eggs for the teen developing brain and maybe for an adult brain too?
Right. Okay. So it's funny. There's a meme or some video that goes back and forth between like eggs are good, eggs are bad, eggs are good, eggs are bad. And it's like the decades. And it's like they keep tossing the eggs and then putting the eggs back on the table. So with my clients, when they want to reverse any one of the chronic diseases, we don't have any animal products because it really interferes with chronic disease reversal. So if your kid has a chronic disease, you want to nutrify them with the foods that have the highest amount of nutrients. So that means all their good sugars, all their good fats, all their good protein, but they also need all the fiber. Meat has zero fiber, dairy has zero fiber, and eggs, zero fiber. Fish, zero fiber. Seafood, zero fiber. So the problem is, all of these people are eating these foods that have zero fiber. And it's the number one thing that is so important to our gut health, our gut lining, our microbiome, how we absorb sugars, how we process fats, everything. So it is critical that they have fiber. So for my clients, because we're trying to rebuild their entire body, the eggs are not going to benefit them. Now, I'm an endurance athlete, running and biking, training to run and bike across Canada. I did a cross BC tour, which is about 3,400 kilometers 2 years ago. And so, which I don't know what that is, 2,200 kilometers, maybe miles, 2,200 miles. It's a long way, 100 kilometers a day. So here's the thing is I did it all fully on a plant-based whole food diet. And every single day after 100 kilometers, which I don't know what that is in miles, is I felt amazing. My joint, and this, I'm a 48-year-old woman doing this, okay? Yeah. My joints didn't hurt. My muscles were strong. I had zero injuries. Well, I did get shin splints at one point, but that's because I was doing half marathons back to back every day. And I wore the wrong shoes. So for myself, you know, I'm living proof you can eat a plant-based whole food diet and do some of the most intense training ever. And I train for a year and a half, you know, like 16 hours a week. So what kids need to know, what parents need to know is number one, you also don't want to overdo it on the protein as well. And I'm totally going off on a tangent way past the question that you asked. But it is important that they have whole foods. And so eggs are not part of it, especially because eggs will create, the choline in eggs creates this chemical reaction in the gut, which creates plaque on the arteries. We do know that it does contribute to that. So when you want to reverse your chronic disease, we're trying to undo all the plaque on all the arteries throughout the body. So having the eggs doesn't fit in. Once you're healed and you're eating an amazing whole foods diet, if you threw in the odd egg here and there, you're not going to, you know, it's not going to create disease at a fast pace, just at a very tiny pace.
Got it. Okay. Death by a million, just little nicks.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember someone saying that, they're like, every time you put something in your mouth, it's either poison or it's life. Yes. And you're choosing that. And it's like, it makes sense. All these things that people are struggling with and conditions and all of it. It's like, yeah, you're putting poison in your body. And most people don't have any idea, which is so crazy. So when you are you all the time no meat, or is that just when you're training really hard?
Always.
Okay.
Always. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such an interesting one. And for kids that are in...
But I need to jump in there. Not interesting at all. And let me tell you why. No meat to North Americans. Yeah, maybe that's fascinating. Like, you can live with no meat. But if we actually look at populations all around the world that live to be 100 and more chronic disease free. So we're talking about mass amounts of humans living to be 100 without chronic disease. They don't eat meat in their communities. Wow. But you look at the communities that eat the more amount, like the highest amount of meat, and they die earlier. They have the most amount of chronic diseases, and you know, they're living this in the most amount of mental health conditions, because mental health conditions are chronic diseases. So it's actually, what's interesting is how we have jumped on this bandwagon, and it was really the marketers, the meat marketers that did that to us after the Second World War. They were like, we've got lots of meat to sell, and we've got a bunch of Americans and Canadians that, you know, we could sell it to. And so then they literally used research that wasn't even valid research. It was biased research saying that we need more protein and we need more calcium. And this research was not even based on biochemistry. And so then we were marketed to the same way, you know, that we were marketed to, that women need a diamond ring on their finger, right? Yeah. It was a commodity that was sold to us. And unfortunately, everybody forgets that happened, because it happened during our grandparents' time. And so now we're just sitting here like plummeting meat into our faces, when that is not what humans have been doing for the majority of time on Earth.
Yeah. Well, like the got milk, when you said that, it made me think of the got milk campaign. Is that kind of what you're talking about? Yeah. Yeah. You need a strong bones.
They did exactly the same in that campaign that they did to market diamonds. They hired supermodels to go out and say, hey, everybody needs to drink milk. Got milk? And just like they took diamonds that were a worthless commodity on the planet and said, hey, look at these sparkly things. We need to figure out a way to get women to buy these and men to buy these for their wives or future wives. And they hired models to say, oh, everyone should be whatever it is, frosted or whatever it was, the De Beers, you know, marketing campaign. So everybody's been duped into buying diamonds, spending their life savings on diamonds and to spend their life savings on meat, which is creating these chronic diseases.
Yeah.
It's people need, and people just don't understand the history of that. So anytime you go out there and you buy that next sausage, the next steak, and you think you're doing it because you need the protein, I'm telling you, it's killing you and it's killing your kids.
Wow. Yeah. It makes me think of everything. It's all a lie. Everything is all so tricky. So what is like a realistic expectation like for you in your life? Is it just 100% or do you do like an 80-20 where maybe you allow yourself to have a little indulgence in a nice ice cream or a burger or something like that? Are you so militant on it that you're in, I love it. I love my health and it makes me feel amazing. Or do you have a little bit of a balance where like, okay, I let myself have a little indulgence every now and then? What's like realistic and what's going to make people happy and healthy?
Okay. I love burgers so much. Like I love them. Like you wouldn't believe. And I love French fries. Okay.
Oh, you're torturing yourself.
No, but it's good because we have organic plant-based whole food restaurants. And so what I'll do is if I go out and eat and I'm not eating at my restaurant where we have the most amazing burger made from scratch, it actually reverses disease, doesn't create it. But we're talking about plant-based whole food burgers. And it is so delicious. We make our ketchup, we make all the sauces on the burger. Like it's amazing. And it's loaded with all of these life-giving nutrients. Yeah. Now, if I go out and eat, I might go eat sushi and I might get a burger that I know it's not organic, but it's plant-based always. It's made out of like lentils and beans and rice and, you know, and I'll go get that, but I know it's not organic. So then I'll have that. And then the odd time, like every once in a while, if I'm on a road trip, you know, I might have the Impossible Burger. So this is not, okay. This is meat, like fake meat made in a factory. Yeah, but to me, that's like me going onto the downtown east side of Vancouver and being like, hey man, hit me up with some drugs. Like that is the equivalent. So I know, like to me, this is crack cocaine that I'm like putting into my body. So I do it. It tastes really good in the moment, but usually 5 minutes in, I'm like, oh, I feel so sick. Cause it's like, it's not life giving, it's life taking. So I rarely ever do that. And if I want French fries, I take a potato, we cut it up into wedges, we put them in the oven, no salt, no oil, and we bake them. And then we pull them out of the oven and they're these beautiful crispy wedge fries. And then sometimes I squeeze lime on them with a little bit of pepper or, you know, we make a dip and we dip it in. So for me, like that's, a, you know, I don't eat French fries every day, but I do eat potatoes every day, but it's more work to make French fries. So we just bake them in the oven. So that will be a treat for me. Now,
Okay.
Everybody knows this about me. So the equivalent, I think, of what you're talking about for me is salt and vinegar chips.
Oh, yep.
Right? So, I allow those, well, like a couple times a month, maybe I'll have them, but not every day because it's a slippery slope. The more you eat that stuff, it's a dopamine hit to your brain and your brain goes, ooh, give me more. So no, we don't do it every day. It's a rare treat, the odd bit of chocolate. But when you eat this way, when you're eating real foods all the time, all those cravings go away. You don't crave them anymore.
Yeah. You see that with like soda pop.
Never in our house, ever.
Yeah. So like when people, because I never had it, I stopped as like, I don't know, 10 years old or something. And then when we were going to win this baseball tournament, it was like, what are you going to do? And it was like, I would have one root beer float. That was like the big crazy thing that I was going to do as a 12-year-old, I think.
Yeah.
But I had to try to explain to people, like when you don't have it all the time, you don't even think about it, consider it, and it's not hard. Yeah. And I see the same thing, like, when I'm like, okay, I want to get real clean with my eating, all of a sudden, like an apple is the most delicious, unbelievable thing on there. Like you said, throw some honey, and it's like, this is better. This is the crack cocaine now because I've reset like what hits and you're like, oh my gosh, this salad is the most incredible thing. Do you like kind of, am I?
And I'm glad, I'm glad you brought that up because my kids, like, we never ever use the word treat in our house. That's like one of the worst things that you can do to your kids is use the word treat. Like, eat this and I'll give you a treat. No, the food is the treat. So my kids would always say, you know, oh, what's for dessert? You know, like, you know, we want a dessert because they hear other people say that. So I'd be like, oh yeah, you can go help yourself to anything in the fridge. Well, because we only have healthy things. So they would go to the fridge and grab an apple. So I love that you said that. So my kids would be like, can I have dessert? And I'd be like, yeah. And they'd go grab an apple or two apples and eat those after dinner. And so that was just our thing. And so then in the morning, sometimes they'd be like, can I have a dessert? And I'm like, yeah. And they'd go grab an apple in the morning. So my kids could eat dessert, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah.
And he didn't care because it was all whole foods. And so I do love that you said that. And for any parent that's listening right now and you're thinking like, I could never eat this way. I hate vegetables. They taste so bland. Or you hate fruit, tastes so bland. If you eat this way, when our clients do our program, they eat this way and 3 weeks in, all of a sudden they'll call me or we give weekly group coaching for life to all of our students. And they'll call me and be like, oh my gosh, I don't understand how this tomato is so tasty. Like, I must have just bought a really nice tomato or a potato or a carrot or an apple. And they're like, mouth is bursting with all these flavors. And but what's beautiful is that they've regrown their taste buds that have been annihilated by the salt, the sugar, and the oils. And now they all of a sudden can taste for the very first time. And it's literally
I felt it. Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh, exactly what you said. Like, the taste buds are just like going crazy and loving it. And you don't need that salt and vinegar chip because you're having something that is put on this earth for us.
Exactly.
So I have one more specific question about a thing. So I was in LA for 10 years, gluten.
Yeah.
Where do we stand on bread? Because I feel like I love bread. My mom used to make homemade bread growing up, and it smells amazing. It brings back memories for me. But I've pretty much stopped eating bread for years and years and years because I was told it was going to make me fat, basically. Is bread okay, or is bread out? Where I'm sure there's some variations, but talk to me about bread.
Okay, so everybody runs around saying that they have a gluten allergy. Okay, and a gluten intolerance. And what we've seen from the studies, when they did studies where they gave people a placebo gluten pill, and then they gave people actual gluten that was in a pill, the people who supposedly had gluten allergies, they didn't react to the gluten pill. So because they don't know if they're getting the placebo or not.
Yeah.
So what the study indicated is, you know, it suggested that basically people might be allergic to the other ingredients that come along with the bread, right? Mm. Now, for my clients, when they have a chronic disease, and most of my clients, it's life-threatening, right? They're being threatened to be put on another medication, get surgery, or die. And so for them, when they do our program, like, that's it for them. They're like, we want to heal. We need to save our lives or my children's life. And so my clients don't eat any gluten, but it's not because we're trying to stay away from gluten. It's because we're trying to give them the most nutrient-dense foods so that they can reverse their disease. So that's the vegetables, the fruits. And so, and they can have the oats, you know, they can have quinoa, they can have amaranth, but we're giving them the most nutrient dense grains. So the wheat isn't the most nutrient dense grain. So it's just, there's no room for it. So it's taking up too much real estate in their body. Now, about 4 weeks into the program, there's a beautiful rye bread recipe I give my clients, so they can make that. It's very simple, but it's a sodium-free rye bread. And so they can have that, but we don't want them having, you know, two slices of toast for breakfast, and then they're not eating the beautiful oats. And we don't want them having a sandwich for lunch because it's mostly just made up of bread and a little bit of vegetables. When they eat it, their whole plate is made up of amazing vegetables, whole foods, and the bread is not a whole food. Right? So there is no room for refined foods, and bread is a refined food. Not all of the germ in the bran is in the bread because that had to get removed to make the flour to make it shelf stable. So the thing is, it's not a whole food. So we just don't do anything that's refined. That's why there's no bread, because it's all about maximum nutrients. Now, once you're healed, yeah, bread is a beautiful food, but you want to get a bread that's literally made from the whole grain. It still has the germ, still has the bran. And it's really hard to find that because most people aren't doing that. But there is one bakery It's called True Grain, where they stone mill the flour in the shop, and then they use the flour right away, and then they make the bread, and they make the pasta. Now, their pasta is out of this world. Like, you don't eat a big bowl of it because it's so nutrient dense. You only need this little tiny bowl of pasta, but that's because all the nutrients are left in.
Okay, I love it. We want to send people so they can check out all your stuff, but before we do, you said something about sushi earlier. I think you like sushi. When you go to get sushi, what do you get?
Okay, so I will get a veggie roll, and usually it comes with like carrots and beets, and I think one of our restaurants puts lettuce in it, so it has all these different vegetables, and seaweed in there and everything. I love that. I usually get the tofu, and if it's in a sushi restaurant that doesn't deep fry it, I love that even more because I don't need the deep fried mess in there. I always get gomai, and gomai is the spinach that's steamed, and it's mixed with a bit of like a nut. A tahini or a peanut sauce. So it's all pretty much whole foods, except, I always opt for the brown rice in Canada.
Okay, that's what I'm going to ask you, because I know like folic acid or something with white rice, and I don't know, I've heard rumors. So brown rice is the way to go.
And you try and find the restaurants that have the brown rice option. Now, a lot of sushi is cooked with a lot of sugar in there as well, and most people don't know that, and that's refined sugar. So we can opt for the rice in one of our restaurants here that doesn't use that, which is great. So it's all about getting to know your restaurant. If they don't offer it, ask them to start offering it, and just you agree to tell all your friends that, that you're going to bring them to the restaurant and you're going to order this new way of having sushi. What else do I get? Just anything that's a whole food. We don't get the fish. And fish right now, we are in a horrific state in this day in history when it comes to fish. We've overfished our oceans. We need to allow the fish habitat to return back to normal. Plus, the fish is so toxic. Okay, I was going to say effing toxic, but I wasn't sure if I could do that.
You're good. You're good.
Okay.
We're talking mercury and fish. Yes. That's the only time.
Yeah. I don't want the heavy metals going into my kid's body. I don't want the heavy metals going into my body. So we need to allow the oceans and the fish to return back to their healthy state. So no, we don't do any seafood.
I love it. So where can people go to change their life one bite at a time? Where's the best place we can send them?
Yeah, so they can go to richerhealth.ca, richerhealth.ca, and they can sign up for our Eat Real to Heal program. And this is an amazing program because they're going to get anybody who signs up gets weekly group coaching with me for life. So it'll be like this, you and I on a screen, but with people from all around the world. Yep. And you can ask me any question about your health, your kids' health, any chronic disease, any food questions, anything to do with detoxing. You can ask me about all the fad diets, and I'm going to teach you the science behind them and tell you what works, what doesn't work. And then you get an online program, which teaches you 18 hours of, how to reverse your chronic disease. And you get that. So that's the best way. So right now it costs about $16,000 a year to treat one North American who has diabetes. Okay. $16,000 a year. Our program, I think, is like between, depending if it's on sale or not, $297 to $500. And you get weekly group coaching for life. Like, that's the cost of a naturopath appointment who's going to load you up with all of these supplements and herbs and tinctures that you do not need. Okay. And so for the cost of one trip to like an alternative health specialist, you're going to reverse your chronic disease.
Amazing.
And then you're going to also teach it to your family, and you're going to reverse their chronic diseases. So it is the best way to go.
Yeah, the prevent it. And if you're already there, then hey, let's get this back down to zero, and then you can get going, and maybe we'll let you have some bread every once in a while, but like, let's get it back to where you got a good baseline.
Yes, and it's not a program of scarcity. I just need to really tell you that it's not about elimination diet. It's not about restriction. This is about abundance. It's about me teaching you about all these 350,000 edible plant species so that you can start eating those instead of eating the five food groups that you're currently eating, which is salt, sugar, oil, corn. And corn's good for you, but not when it's refined. And then I don't know what the last one was. There's a fifth one.
Four is enough. Four is enough.
Preservatives. Your other food group. Preservatives and pesticides.
Jeez. So, okay, last question for you. If you were going to go back and give yourself one piece of advice, maybe let's keep it with the topic of you're having your first kids and they're coming into this world and you want them to be as abundant in their life choices as possible. What would be the best advice you would give yourself?
Ooh, as a new mama, I've been there. I have three kids. So, yeah, this is a really good question. Oh my gosh. I would say, no, okay. So I would say this. All the moms and the dads that are out there listening to this right now, okay? All the teenagers that are one day going to be parents and you're going to have your little sweet baby's face in front of you for the very first time. I want you to tap in to who you truly are, okay? And who you truly are is nature. You are a human being, just like every other, human being out there. But what are you really? You are this divine, natural being that you're really an animal. And you're an animal just like all the other animals on the planet, and which really means you are nature, okay? So you have to abide by the laws of nature. And you know this, your gut knows this. Your gut knows that all of that crap food that's on the grocery store shelves, that is not natural. And so tap into that inner knowing that you are nature, abide by those natural principles, and stop believing the hype that's out there. All these people are going to have ideas like you need to fast, you need to eat no gluten, you need to, do keto, you need to do the master cleanse, like all of these bullshit, like fad programs, that they're just a trick, and stop buying into that and just trust your gut. And if you do this, you'll know that you're just going to start feeding your kid all things natural. And it does, if it has a word natural on it, on a box, on a package, that's not natural. Okay.
I was looking at that the other day. I'm like, oh, I can't believe anything.
No, you can't believe anything. And so, yeah, so that's what I would just say. It's just tune into that and hold true to that. And then you'll start making all the right decisions after that.
I love it. And it one thing that really stands out that you said earlier, and we talk about this all the time in this community, is it starts with you. And so, if you want to do this, you need to start with your own health. Get it together because they're going to watch and see what you're doing. And, like you said, yeah, go and have anything that's in the fridge. Go get a dessert and start making it. And the other thing I love that you said is it's in a more abundant. It's a more abundant. It's not taking away, it's letting you have that abundance in your life. So, this was amazing. I'm ready to go start over. Let's get this baseline right. We'll go to the website. You're incredible. Good doctor. We appreciate you. And thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us today.
Thanks so much. Such a
You're
fun
welcome.
interview. Thank you.